Welcome to the Small Business Spoonfuls podcast, a laid-back discussion of the serious HR topics and trends of today. Brought to you by HelpDeskSuites.com, hosted by Lisa Smith and Mason Merrill.
Welcome to another episode of Small Business Spoonfuls. I'm Lisa Smith.
And I'm Mason Merrill.
And today we are again revisiting a COVID-19 issue, but we're talking today about the litigation that seems to be on the horizon, or maybe that's already popping up around the country.
That's right. And we got some hot topics to hit here as far as different claims that can be made.
Yeah. So we're going to look at the five top lawsuits that we're seeing in state and federal courts related to the effect that COVID-19 has had on the workplace. It's interesting because this is also unprecedented. Our country has never been through anything just like this in the past. So how they're all going to play out in court on a non-COVID day, we might be able to predict. But on a COVID time frame, yeah, we're just going to have to wait and see on some of these things.
Absolutely. Okay, so the first one we're going to talk about is failure to provide a safe working environment.
Yeah, and so, of course, OSHA is huge during this time. And, you know, falling in line with OSHA guidelines, which have been extensive, the CDC's guidelines, your own local, you know, whether it's your state, your county, your city, you know, those guidelines, they're very similar and very different all around the country. So, you know, we have all these safety protocols, and sometimes employers don't understand, sometimes employees don't understand. And so this leads to a conflict with, I'm going to call up OSHA because I think you're doing it wrong.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, especially if you're working in a smaller environment and things like that, these are definitely things you want to look out for, because, you know, somebody could get disgruntled and then realize they're not 6 foot from their person, and then they're filing a claim because they're just mad at you, you know?
Yeah, and the deal with wearing masks, yeah. In some areas it's mandatory, in some areas it's not. A business like Walmart may mandate it where the local area has not mandated it, and there are big arguments about all of that. But at the end of the day, if you fire someone because they refuse to follow your policy, in a non-COVID day, that's okay.
Yeah.
In a COVID day, is it okay? I mean, it probably is okay, but we can't say that to a 100% certainty.
Yeah, so providing personal protective equipment, things like that where needed, you know, obviously the 6 foot social distancing, masks if you need them in the office, things like that, you know, depending on how your office is laid out and things like that is very important.
Yeah, high-level sanitation. We did a boss call on this a while back, and we talked about the fact that, you know, an employee can refuse to work and walk off the job, but they have to follow very specific guidelines before they do that. And so as employers, you need to know what those guidelines are.
Exactly. And as the employer, you're protected in a lot of ways, but you're also very liable in the same amount of ways, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, you know, there's a form of job abandonment that comes from somebody who's scared and doesn't want to come and work that protects you. But also, if you're bringing them into work, you need to make sure your work is a safe place for them to be.
Exactly.
Know? So if you're claiming they're coming back to, or you're demanding they come back to work, you know, things
exactly.
Like that. So, you know, and then also you want to have good customer and visitor policies as well. That goes along with a safe working environment as well. So if you're having people come into a store or different things like that, you want to have these policies in place for the visitors.
Yes, definitely.
So it goes kind of both ways there. So the next one is discrimination claims.
Yeah, so age and disability discrimination are all over the map here with COVID. And a lot of times it's the employer thinking they're doing the right thing for the person.
Yeah.
Like, I think you're old enough that this might be a high risk for you, so we're going to send you home and put you on furlough. When in reality, that's age discrimination.
Yeah.
And so, you know, someone with a disability, we might say, oh, but you have, you know, diabetes, which can be considered a disability, or something like that. So we're going to treat you differently based on that. That can be a discrimination claim. So you think out of the goodness of your heart, you're trying to give them more allowances. But really what it ends up being in court is that you're singling them out. There was a 70-year-old plaintiff in New Jersey. There was a state court that this went to, and they alleged that they were denied a work-from-home accommodation due to the medical condition and age, which he said presented additional risk of complications from COVID. And so, again, you know, here we see 70 years old, you know, you're asking for a work-from-home accommodation, and your job can be done from home, and you're not given the accommodation. So that brings us to the point of, but you just said not to send them home if they're 70. No, I didn't say that. I said don't just make it up on your own and go say, hey, you're old, go home.
Yeah.
No, but if they come to you and they say, I have these pre-existing conditions, I'm this, I'm that, I'm 70, I'm afraid, I can do my job from home, could we do that arrangement? Now we're talking about more of an ADA accommodation.
Yeah.
So the very thing that can bite you in the bottom is going to be the thing that bites you in the bottom if you don't do it or if you do it. So, like, you really need to talk to your local council when these things come up.
Exactly. Yeah, and also document, you know, your conversations with these with individuals, mm-hmm. and have a reasonable approach to every request. You know, just the kind of going in with an open mind, and you're going to set a precedence for a situation, whether it's you or the employee coming and come to a good agreement on what's good for everybody in the.
Yeah, and go to EEOC.gov and look under their FAQs for COVID-19 stuff, because they have been very clear.
Yeah.
And the FAQs are very in-depth. So.
Yep, that's right. Okay, so the next point is leave claims.
So we've had a lot of lawsuits that have been filed alleging that employees have been unlawfully denied sick or family and medical leave related to COVID. Whether it's FMLA or the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, which we know as the FFCRA, maybe it's a state or a local paid leave law, and even your own employer sick leave policies. We have to be very careful that we follow the law for each individual type of leave, because there may be very similar but also very different guidelines that would say yes to one type of leave and no to another type of leave.
That's right.
And when your company has various types of leave all working together at the same time, it might be that you do have to allow some leave, but you need to chop it up and break it down and decide, is this paid? Is this unpaid? How much? How many hours? Because you're going to have a myriad of different leave laws that may have to inform your final decision.
Yep, that's right. And don't seek termination just because this person's being difficult, you know.
Or you perceive that they're being difficult. Yeah, maybe exactly. They just want you to explain their rights to them
exactly.
Because they don't understand. Or maybe they understand better than you do.
Yeah,
you
never know? Jump to termination in any of these, because if you unrightfully terminate someone, you could be in way more hot water than just listening to the person and trying to figure it out.
So. Absolutely.
Okay, so next is retaliation and whistleblower claims.
So this is one of those things that we see lawsuits that pop up because somebody was terminated because they're a problem.
Yeah.
You know, so like, well, I don't think you're sanitizing enough, and I don't think you're doing this. And maybe you see them as just being nitpicky and troublemaking, but maybe they have a point.
Yeah.
And if you fire them, then they can go out and say, hey, I got fired because I was nitpicking the sanitizing.
Yeah.
And now we got to bring people in to see who's right and who's wrong. And guess what? No company's doing it right. No matter how hard you're trying, somebody can find something you're doing wrong. So you're not going to win this.
Or situations where people are sick and they're having trouble and not producing at their fullest performance, and then you're frustrated with them, but they're sick and they're testing for COVID, and it's a big roundabout, you know, but you're frustrated at the end and you just want to terminate them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we don't want to jump to those conclusions with these things, because you know, retaliation and whistleblower claims can really come back to bite you here.
Big time.
Okay, so last but ultimately not least is wage and hour claims.
So wage and hour claims are never in shortage.
Yeah.
I mean, wage and hour claims on a non-COVID day are all over the place and very, very serious. So now we're dealing with working from home and altered schedules, and we've got employees who have been reducing wages to try to still make ends meet. So let's say that we go across the board and we cut everybody's pay 20%. Well, normally that would be okay, except what if you have people that are being reduced below minimum wage? And it's not always federal minimum wage, it's state minimum wage if your state is higher than federal, right?
Yeah.
So we have to watch out for those things. You can't just default to whatever minimum wage you
across
want to choose.
The board, yeah.
And so we've got to make sure we follow the most beneficial for the employee. However, we also have another thing here that is, you know, we have exempt employees who make a weekly salary, and that salary has to be guaranteed.
Yeah.
Now, that salary has to be a minimum federally of $684 every week of the year. In some states are $900 or $1,000 or more every week of the year. So if you're reducing wages, you might be able to reduce that salary, but you've still got to maintain that threshold. And yeah. You just can't randomly start reducing salaries. There is a way to do it per the Fair Labor Standards Act. So you have to know all of these guidelines, and you have to do it right. Otherwise, somebody is going to inform your employee that you did it wrong.
Yeah.
And believe me, there's no shortage of that either.
Especially when it comes to getting in people's pockets.
Exactly. And so, you know, they're going to go down to the free consultation at the local attorney. And guess what? It's going to turn up that you did this wrong. And then guess what? That attorney's going to say, well, how many employees does that person have? Oh, well, I wonder if they've done it wrong for everybody then.
Yeah.
And then we've got a class action issue brewing, and
absolutely.
We don't want that. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want any part of that. So just it really, when you're doing, you know, wage, if you have to reduce wages and things like that, it goes by kind of almost a person-to-person basis, but with maintaining a standard, you know?
Yeah.
So you want to maintain a standard so you're not discriminating against anybody, but also you want to go person-to-person to make sure, if I do this to this person, it's not going to drop them below minimum wage. But if I do this to this one, you know, kind of thing. So
yeah, exactly. You're 100% true. Yeah.
So it's all a game of numbers and just figuring out what your local numbers are to line up with the numbers you have. So like you said, there's nothing wrong with this if your company needs to do it. It's just you got to do it the right way to avoid wage and hour claims.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Well, those are just the kind of the bigger types of lawsuits you want to avoid, and a few tips there, here and there. But also, you know, we're not lawyers here, you know, so consult your local counsel in whatever you're trying to accomplish here. So.
100%. Not legal advice.
Yep. That's absolutely true. So, okay, cool. Yeah. Well, unless you have anything else, I think that wraps for this one.
No, I'm just hoping that you guys will come out and continue to listen and subscribe and like and, you know, give us that kind of support as well, so other people can hear about us and come listen to Small Business Spoonfuls. And if you're not yet a member of Boss Calls, man, come on out and check it out. Go to helpdesksuites.com.
Yeah. And give us some feedback, too. If there's any subjects you'd like us to discuss on here, obviously not anything heavy, you know, really heavy, because we save that for our other platforms and things like that. But if there's any kind of shorter thing topics you would like us to kind of do a Q&A on, we're more than happy to do that as well. And you know, we're thinking about moving this over to like a video audio medium, so we can also do that, but also in almost like a Zoom type chat as well, posted on the website. So look out for all those kind of things as well going forward. And as always, we appreciate everybody listening, and we just hope everybody's staying safe out there.
Yeah, we do. So thanks again. And until next time, I'm Lisa Smith.
And I'm Mason Merrill.
Be audit secure.
If you would like to learn more about us, head over to helpdesksuites.com. There, we have the essential training and support you need to keep up with ongoing legal changes, as well as maintain a solid HR and employment law compliance. Help Desk Suite Deluxe is your help desk for HR. Inside, you'll have access to all the apps you need, such as our job description writer, employee handbook creator, special calculators, support, and a community of the smartest HR pros around. Whether you're a seasoned HR pro or a great office manager that got voluntold into an HR position, we can help you do HR like a boss with Boss Calls. Boss Calls is a twice monthly Q&A conversation hosted by Lisa Smith and her guests, along with other experienced HR professionals from all across the country.